For our devotion this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. The Apostle John refers to Jesus in these words when he writes, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And we pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. If a novice to Christianity were to come up to any one of us and ask us, "So where in the Bible would you suggest I begin reading to learn the essential truths of the Christian faith?" I doubt that any one of us would suggest that the person start in the book of Revelation. And understandably so. While very interesting, it can be a complicated book to understand, given the vision of heaven that God permitted John to see and then inspired him to write about. But even in its imagery, can't you just sense the powerful exhortation in the words of our text? There's no mistake in these words. The Apostle John's last sentence summarizes the tone of the text well. Hey, everybody, listen up. John conveys no less than three commands in this text. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Overcome. And if you have an ear, you better hear. When we observe what's happening in society today, it's no wonder these words are recorded for us. Our text serves as an encouragement to have urgency in regard to this message and to treat it as something so precious that we want it for ourselves. When we look at what's going around and it's happening in society today, we see that it continues to drift away from what God's word teaches. Whether that attack might be in the form of what God's nature is, his power and rule over earth, his plan for mankind, or his will for how we live our lives. Instead, what's quickly becoming the norm are views based on popularity and political correctness. And those popularized perspectives are often espoused by those who are most influential. Those followed in movies, television, the arts and literature, politics, and sports, to name just a few. Sure, there might be a few in those fields that stand up to the truths of Scripture, but they're often quickly put down for their biblically centered views and are labeled as being out of touch, old-fashioned, or not friendly toward some groups in society. The impact these anti-scriptural perspectives are having on Christian homes is alarming. Research already going back to the 90s and continuing today notes a tendency that even for youth who grow up in Christian homes and go to Christian schools, fall away from Christian faith as they reach adulthood. It seems that the devil's constant barrage of anti-Christian comments from media, from one's own peers, from authorities in society such as professors, is more than enough to slowly erode Christian faith from our young people. So again, it's no wonder John offers us encouragement in these words, "Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." And in the next sentence, to overcome. John is reminding us in these words to have urgency in regard to our faith. And there's good reason. In verse 11, he says, Jesus is coming soon. The reason there's urgency in this time that we have between now and the day of Christ's return is the fact that we, by nature, are in big trouble. Because of our inherited sinful condition and our own sinful acts, words, and thoughts, we, by nature, are doomed to eternal death and hell. On our own, on Judgment Day, we'll have to stand before God, the just judge, and be declared guilty. We're guilty of breaking God's commands and therefore sentenced to eternal death and hell. So John encourages us to spend our lives, our times of grace here on earth, focused on the gift of God's Son, our Savior, who came to earth, lived the perfect life that you and I couldn't live, and by his gracious and loving suffering and death in our place, exchanged his perfection for our imperfection. So hold on, John says. Cling to the faith in Jesus and what he's done for us so that no one can take that crown of righteousness from us. John, in a sense, is urging us to act like a bunch of three-year-olds. Three-year-olds in a preschool classroom, all competing for one toy. And that child is clinging to that toy and saying, mine! That's the urgency John encourages us to have, to be, in a good way, selfish or possessive with God's gift to us. And the reason we want to cling to that gift is there's something special by faith waiting for us, eternal life. John writes in verse 12, and I paraphrase, I, Jesus, will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You can think of that illustration of a pillar as us being a permanent fixture, firmly grounded in heaven. John goes on to write, never again will we leave heaven. I, Jesus, will write on you the name of your heavenly God and the name of the city of your God, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on you God's new name. You could say that by holding firmly to faith in what Jesus has done for us, we have been branded, even tattooed, with God's own name on our chest and the address of our new home in heaven. John's revelation in chapter 3 is clear. My dear Bethany friends, and especially you graduating today, hold tightly to the truths of Scripture that we have eternal life in heaven with our Heavenly Father by faith in what Jesus has done for us. When we do so, we too will see and experience the heavenly bliss that John saw through the revelation of heaven revealed to him by God himself. May God grant us his Holy Spirit to give us the strength of faith to hold firmly in these teachings until the end. Amen.